Welcome, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. My name is Courtney Scarta. I'm Vice President of Racker Experience at Rackspace, and I'm your host for this session. I'm really thrilled to be here today to support the advancement of women, leaders in this community and from across the state. Rackspace is proud to be a partner of the Watermark Conference for Women. At Rackspace, we help businesses tap the power of cloud computing so they don't have to deal with the challenge and expense of managing IT infrastructure and application platforms on their own, because as we all know, that's quite complex. The way that we do this is by providing something that we call fanatical support, which is delivered by 6,000 of our employees who we call Rackers. They are the experts on the world's leading cloud technologies, and we are obsessed with creating the best possible experience for each of our 300,000 customers globally. As Vice President of Racker Experience at Rackspace, I have the privilege of leading a team of Rackers who are passionate about the customers and communities we serve, which includes our own internal customers. We want to create an engaging, inclusive, and diverse culture where Rackers come, show up, and volunteer their best every single day. We are making a concerted effort to elevate women in leadership positions, which is important for any company, but especially important in technology. Through our Elevate Women in Leadership initiative, we provide opportunities for growth, connection, and internal and external recognition. Programs such as our Women in Leadership Summit create a foundation for ongoing development for women who want to advance as leaders. We invest in conferences just like this one, and we have built partnerships with organizations such as the National Center for Women in Information Technology and the Anita Borg Institute to provide best practices, benchmarking, recruiting opportunities, and community service. Thanks to our focus on elevating women in leadership, we have seen more women added to our executive leadership team, as well as our board of directors. As a leader, mentor, and coach, I have the opportunity to help many rising women in our organization. And you know, when I listen to their experiences, I often find that the biggest obstacles stem from our own internal thinking, the beliefs and stories that we actually tell ourselves, that quite frequently drive what we do, and unfortunately, what we don't do. We spend far too much time and energy on managing what other people think and say about us than how we actually think about leveraging our own strengths, talents, skills, and knowledge that ultimately help us realize opportunities before us. That's why I'm so excited to be a part of the conference and also to host this session. I want to welcome and thank you for participating in this breakout session, Triggers, Creating Behaviors That Last and Becoming the Person You Want to Be. We have an amazing hour in store for you. In my experience, when we realize the version of ourselves that's both personally and professionally fulfilling, and when we do that in an authentic way, opportunities present themselves left and right. But we have to have the courage to find that authentic version. Now, to help us do that, I'm excited to welcome Marshall Goldsmith. Marshall Goldsmith is the world's authority in helping successful leaders achieve positive, lasting change in behavior for themselves and the people that they work with. Thinkers 50 has rated him as the number one leadership thinker and one of the top 10 business thinkers in the world. He has also been recognized by global gurus as the number one executive coach in the world. He is an author and editor with 35 books that have sold over 2 million copies, been translated in 30 languages, and listed as bestsellers in 12 countries. Three of those have appeared as New York Times bestsellers, including Mojo and What Got You Here Won't Get You There, which won the Longman Award for Business Book of the Year. His latest book, Triggers, is also a New York Times and a Wall Street Journal number one bestseller. I encourage you to visit his online library, which is filled with articles, columns, interviews, podcasts, and videos that he offers to all of us for no charge. Please put your hands together and help me welcome Dr. Marshall Goldsmith.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, I have a request. We're going to have a little interactive activity. So I don't just like to talk at people. I like to have people have a chance to interact. An advantage of coming to a program like this is to get to meet some people you don't already know. Yet I notice most of us always sit with people we already do know. That is now going to change. Now, I have one request. Way back in the back, all you people way back in the back, you all move closer to the front. Everyone is going to stand up. You now have 20 seconds. Find one person you do not know and sit next to that person. Go, find a partner. Go, go, go. Okay, sit by your new partner. Sit by your new partner. Find a partner. Let's go. Sit by your new partner. Okay, sit by your new partner. Come on down. All right. Shh, shh. Sit by your new partner. Everybody gets a partner. Sit by your new partner. Very good. Okay, quiet, quiet. Shh, shh, shh. We are now, shh, shh. Today we're going to practice peer coaching. Peer coaching. In peer coaching, you are not here to judge your partner. You are not here to critique your partner. You are not here to put your partner down. You are here to help your partner. I want you to shake hands with your partner and say, partner, my name is, I'm here to help. Go, shake hands with your partner. Go, 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 go. Now, let me briefly introduce myself and we will begin. My name is Marshall. I'm from a small town called Valley Station, Kentucky. Went to undergraduate school at a little engineering school, Rose Holman Institute of Technology. Got an MBA at Indiana, PhD at UCLA Anderson School. I was a professor and dean when I was very, very young. Then for 39 years, I've done three things. One is like today, I give talks or teach classes. This is what I love to do the most. I love speaking and teaching. I travel all around the world on American Airlines alone, and I'm going over to China next week. I'm the coach of the new future CEO of Alibaba, who is a woman. Even better. Right. So anyway, I get to coach. I love speaking and teaching. I travel all the time. On American Airlines alone, I have over 11 million frequent flyer miles. Have any of you seen a movie called Up in the Air with George Clooney? I have the card. And this always happens to me with the card, especially with women. I show them the card. They always say the same thing. You look exactly like George Clooney. So the first thing I do is speaking and coach, speaking like today. The second thing I do, I'm most famous for, is I coach executives. And my coaching clients are CEOs or could be CEOs of huge organizations. So I've been the coach of the CEO of Ford and Pfizer and Glaxo and Walmart and president of World Bank and head of Mayo Clinic, all kinds of fascinating people. And I love coaching because I learn so much. And then the third thing I do is write and edit books and articles. And we're talking about the book today, Triggers. That's the number one bestseller. My most popular book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Have any of you read that book before? Well, thank you so much. Many of you have read it. That was my 23rd book. And after writing 22 books, it was very good to write a book that someone finally bought. Other than my mother, my father, and assorted relatives, somebody finally bought that book. A couple of other points. I love getting emails. Send me an email, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com. If you send me an email, I cannot promise to get back to you immediately. I will get back to you. It just may take a little bit of time. And the other thing is I have a website, www.marshallgoldsmith.com. I give everything away. I'm a Buddhist. All my material, you may copy, share, download, duplicate, use at church, charity, nonprofit, business. Use any of my material any way you wish. Hundreds of videos online. My basic attitude is we're all going to be equally dead. Might as well do some good here, right? So any of this stuff does any good for you, use it any way you want to talk about. Now, what are we going to discuss today? Triggers. Understand the concept of triggers and the environmental factors that influence our behavior. How structure can help us maintain focus. I'm going to share something that takes 2 minutes today. 2 minutes. It costs absolutely zero and will help you get better at almost anything. Some of you are skeptical now. 2 minutes a day, it costs nothing. Help me get better at almost anything. Sounds too good to be true. Half of you that start doing this will quit within 2 weeks. And you will not quit because it does not work. You will quit because it does work. What I'm going to teach you today is going to be incredibly easy to understand. It's incredibly difficult to do. Those of you that read my book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, funny story after funny story after funny story. It's tempting to read the book and think, ho, 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 what a bunch of idiots. The idiots in the book all have IQs of 150, and they're all CEOs of multi-billion dollar companies. I'll tell you, this stuff's easy to understand. This stuff is hard to do, very hard to do. And then finally, I'm going to talk about one issue faced by women more than men and give suggestions for positive change. So we're going to cover a lot of stuff in a very short period of time. So let us begin. First, triggers. I have a theory. My theory is, as we journey through life, you know who you want to be. If I interviewed any of you and said, describe this person you want to be, you'll have this beautiful story. This fine woman who's dedicated, hardworking, great family member, in perfect physical condition, yada, yada, yada. We all have this vision of who we want to be. What happens? Why don't we become this person? As we journey through life, Millions of people around the world are disengaged, depressed, not achieving our goals. New Year's resolutions. By February, the gym is empty. Coaching clients don't change. Well, what goes wrong? Well, as we journey through life, we are bombarded by triggers. What is a trigger? Any stimulus may impact our behavior. Sight, sound, person, word. And in most cases, these triggers throw us off course. We have this plan of what we want to become. These triggers throw us off course. Who's in control? Two theories. External control, the world controls me. Internal control, I control the world. Four schools of thought, and very bright people believe in each of these four. School number one, random walk. It's all a crapshoot. Life is largely chaos theory. It's pretty much just a crapshoot. Number two, I create the world. I am responsible. Have any of you been to a motivational speech? The motivational speech is always the same. Jimmy was tired and poor and sick, and he couldn't find a date. And now he works hard and he's rich and he has three wives. You know, the motivational speech is always the same, right? There's this poor, sick, tired person. Have any of you ever read a book called The Secret? Have you ever read this book? 7 million copies sold. One of the most ridiculous books ever written, The Secret. The idea behind The Secret is, if I envision it, it will happen. So they interview movie stars. She envisioned being a movie star, and now she is. And he envisioned being a basketball champion, and he is. And she had cancer, and she envisioned it went away, and it did. There was only one minor problem with the research. They did not interview the dead people. They didn't interview the 1,000 waitresses in Hollywood who envisioned being movie stars and are now waited on tables. They didn't interview the basketball team that lost. Well, this envisioning thing works to a degree, and I believe in it, but to naively assume just because I envision something is going to happen is a little bit ridiculous. The other is the opposite. The world creates me. B.F. Skinner, the famous Harvard psychologist, what did he believe? Stimulus response machine. As we journey through life, we're like a pinball, buffeted around by these various triggers in the world, and it controls us. In my book, Triggers, I believe in something called mutual creation. What does that mean? I am creating my world. And at the same time, triggers in my world are creating me. I am creating it, and simultaneously, it is creating me. Fate. The hand of cards we've been dealt. One thing in life you cannot change, the hand. At any second in time, you've been dealt the hand of cards. You can't change the hand. We can't change the past. What is our choice? How we play the hand. Now, typically, as we journey through life, there is a trigger. The trigger leads to an impulse, and the impulse leads to a behavior. The goal of my book is there's still going to be triggers. We will still have an impulse. The idea, though, is stop. Become aware of what's going on and realize I have a choice, and make our behavior a function of the choice, not a function of the impulse. Let me give you an example. Negative case study. I was interviewed in the Harvard Business Review and asked a question, what is the number one problem of all the successful people you've worked with over the years? And as I look into your eyes, I sense the problem in this room. What was my answer? Winning too much. What's that mean? If it's important, we want to. When? Meaningful? When? Critical? When? Trivial? When? Not worth it? Win anyway. Winners love winning. In the game of life, you're all winners or you wouldn't be sitting here. It's hard for winners not to constantly win. Now, let me give you a negative case study of winning too much that I use in my class at Dartmouth. And I'm sure many of you have done this. Here's the case study. You have a hard day at work, a hard day, under so much pressure, you go home. Your husband, wife, friend is here, and the other person says, I had such a hard day today. I had such a tough day. And if we're not careful, what do we say? You had a hard day. You had a hard day. Do you have any idea what I had to put up with today? Do you think you had a hard day? We are so competitive, we have to prove we are more miserable than the people we live with. I gave this example in my class at Dartmouth. A young man in the back raised his hand. He said, I did that last week. I asked him, what happened? He said, my wife looked at me. She said, honey, you just think you had a hard day. It's not over. Now, the positive case study. I got an email that's in my book, Triggers. I got the email a couple years ago. If any of you would send me such an email after today, today is a good day for me. A gentleman sent me an email and said, I know you do not remember me. I was in your class 5 years ago. I just want to send you an email today and say thank you. He said, yesterday my wife called on the phone and I was having a terrible day. I was under a lot of pressure. And she was talking about what a bad day she had. And he said, I was just getting ready to point out how her problems paled in significance to my own. He said, for some reason, I remembered your class. I just stop and I breathe. I listened to my wife and I said, I love you. Thank you for everything you've done for the family. He said, I went home. I spent $25. I bought her some flowers. I gave her the flowers. And I said, I love you. He said, that was the best $25 I've ever spent. Thank you. Well, the next time we get into that, I'm going to win and I'm going to prove I'm right and I'm going to prove I'm better than you. Ask a question, what am I winning? What am I winning? Talk to your partner 20 seconds and answer this question. When's the one time in the last year you tried to win or prove you were right and you should not have been fighting the battle in the first place? Go, talk to your partner. Talk, 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 talk. Okay, stop, stop. Now, we are going to have an exercise program. Exercise program. Here's your exercise. I'm going to aimlessly wander around like this. Wander, wander, wander. Here's your exercise. I never want to see the back of anyone's head. So as I wander around, so you're going to turn so I don't see the back of your head. That's your exercise plan. Now, why don't people do what I teach? We live in a perfect storm of distraction. Why don't people do what I teach? I'm going to make a prediction. I'm the only teacher you've ever met in your life who's collected data from tens of thousands of people who've been to my courses. And I measure, do they do what I teach and do they get better? I got good news. The people who do this stuff get better. I got better news. People who do nothing don't get worse. It's all good, right? Now, why don't people do what I teach? Years ago, my biggest client was a company called Johnson & Johnson. Is somebody here works for Johnson & Johnson? Well, you do. Yeah, Johnson & Johnson. I developed the original standards of leadership for Johnson & Johnson many, many years ago. Years ago, my biggest client was Johnson & Johnson. The rest of you have all heard of Johnson & Johnson, right? So I had the privilege of working with your top 2,000 leaders. Ralph Larson was the CEO, all the way down to number 2,000. They went to my course. It was called Executive Conference 3. And at the end of my course, I asked people to do some stuff. And then at the end, they were asked, are you going to do what Marshall just taught? 98% of your leaders said, yes, I'm going to do this. A year later, 70% had done something, 30%, zero, not 1 second. I'm not ashamed of these numbers. I'm proud of these numbers. 70% of 2,000 people is 1,400 people getting evaluated by 10 coworkers each. 14,000 people have a little better life. I'm not ashamed of that. Well, I got to interview the people who did nothing and said, why did you do nothing? Their answer had nothing to do with ethics, values, or integrity. Johnson & Johnson won an award that year, most ethical company in the world. You know these people. They're good people. They're smart people. I said, why didn't you do what I taught you? The answer had to do with a dream. A dream. Yes, a dream I've had for years, and I'm looking into your eyes. I think many of you have had this dream. Yes, many of you have had this same idiotic dream on a recurring basis for years. And this is going to describe why in life we don't do what we know we should. Some of you are skeptical now. You're thinking, he doesn't know my dreams. Don't bet against me. What does the dream sound like? I'm incredibly busy right now. Given pressures of work and home and new technology that follows me everywhere and emails and voicemails and global competition, I feel about as busy as I ever have. Sometimes I feel overcommitted. I don't tell others this, but every now and again, my life feels just a little bit out of control. But you know, I'm working on some very unique and special challenges right now. And I think the worst of this is going to be over in about 2 or 3 months. And after that, I'm going to take a couple, 3 weeks and get organized. And I'm going to spend some time with the family, and I'm going to begin my new healthy life program. And after that, everything is going to be different, and it will not be crazy anymore. Has anyone in the room ever had a dream that vaguely resembles that dream? And how many years have we been having this same idiotic dream? There's not going to be any 2 or 3 weeks. Sanity's not going to kick in. There's an outside chance tomorrow's going to be even crazier than today. Are any of you in a job where you have to make numbers every year? Numbers, those number targets, number. Make those numbers. First name is? Let's all pretend, Cisco, Jennifer, let's all pretend Jennifer overachieves on every number this year by 25%, 25% above all targets. Let's hear it for Jennifer over here. Big round of applause just for Jennifer. Jennifer, if that happens, what are the odds a big boss is going to come back next year and say, Jennifer, take a break? You know, Jennifer, you're working too hard. And in fact, Jennifer, we're going to lower the goals next year. Is that going to happen? What's going to happen to next year's numbers? Up. Raise your right hand and repeat after me. My name is Jennifer, and it is always going to be crazy. It's always going to be crazy. Do I have any entrepreneurs in the room? You own your own. Oh, entrepreneur. Entrepreneur. You're an entrepreneur. You too. Both entrepreneurs. Your name is?
Brianna.
Ming. Let's pretend they overachieve on their goals by 25%. Let's hear it for these two entrepreneurs up here. Very good. If you overachieve on all your goals by 25%, what are the odds you're going to look at yourself next year and say, take a break? Lower the goals? What happens to next year's goals? Raise your right hand. You see, she had to say, it will always be crazy. And your two cases is different. I want you to say, I will always be crazy. Because who's that crazy woman driving you? What's her name? How about yours? Yeah, well, it doesn't matter, you see, if you're an entrepreneur, if you work in a big corporation. It's always going to be crazy. So I want everyone to raise your right hand. And I want all of you to repeat after me. It is always going to be crazy. It is always going to be crazy. Make peace with that. It's always going to be crazy. Now, why don't people do what I teach? Well, why don't we all do what we know we should? We live in a world of classic delusion. We believe we have the wisdom to objectively evaluate our own behavior. Wrong. 70% of everyone, I've done a study, 80,000 people. 70% of us believe we're in the top 10% of our professional peer group. 82% of us believe we're in the top 20, and 98.5% of us have concluded we are in the top half. Successful people are delusional. And by the way, the more successful we become, the more delusional we get. Have any of you been promoted in the last couple of years? Promoted. Did you notice your jokes got a little funnier? How about those comments? A little more profound. Well, you even look like you've lost a pound or two. Every time we get promoted, what happens? They laugh at the jokes. They act like we're smart. We start believing this nonsense. We believe we have willpower. Wrong. I don't need help or structure to achieve my goals. Wrong. We all need far more help than we need. And by the way, one thing I'm really proud of in my book, Triggers, 27 major CEOs endorsed that book. 27. CEO of the year in the United States, number three greatest leader in the world. My friend Francis Hesselbein, Presidential Medal of Freedom winner. 27 major CEOs. Why am I so proud? 30 years ago, no CEO would admit to having a coach. They would have been ashamed to have a coach. They would have been embarrassed to have a coach. Well, these are not losers. These are 27 big people that said, I have a coach, and it's okay. Well, we all need help. And once we get over this macho, I don't need help thing, life is so much better. Life is so much better. That's one of my biggest understandings of this year. Life is so much better. The Checklist Manifesto, The Value of Structure. The Checklist Manifesto, published by Dr. Atul Gawande from Harvard Medical School. Have any of you read this book? Wonderful book. Dr. Gawande, by the way, great guy. In the book, The Checklist Manifesto, if you're going for a surgery, and the nurse asks the doctor a series of very simple questions from a checklist before the surgery. Odds on unneeded infection plummet in the death rate because unnecessary infection is cut by 2/3. Not a theory, fact. The huge majority of hospitals around the world do not allow the nurse to ask the doctor the questions. What is the first question? Did you wash your hands? Why? Ego. According to Dr. Gawande, more people have died because of the egos of surgeons than died in the Vietnam War, the Afghan War, and the Iraqi War combined. They're ashamed to admit they need help. They're ashamed to say, I need somebody to help me. Well, once we get over this shame nonsense, life is so much better for all of us. I'm going to talk about some examples of this. That's the negative example. The positive example, for 9 years I trained admirals in our fine United States Navy. I don't charge them any money because the Navy billing bureaucracy is such a phenomenal pain in the butt. I said, we'll both make more money if you pay me nothing. So don't pay me. They don't give me money, they give me treats. A few years ago, my treat, day in a nuclear submarine. Me and eight other old men got to go out on a submarine and dive under the water for 8 hours and pretend to torpedo things. Oh, that was great. A couple of years later, I got a better treat. Where did I get to go? Highway to the danger zone. Have any of you seen the movie Top Gun? I got to fly 95 minutes on a United States Navy Top Gun fighter jet. G-suit, oxygen, 6 Gs, doing tricks, flying upside down. Got to fly the plane myself 10 minutes, and I'm proud to say I did not throw up. Now, before we take off, I noticed this kid is asking my host, Admiral Mark Guarnini, in charge of all naval aviation training, a series of very simple questions from a checklist. Not tricky questions. First question to the doctor is, did you wash your hands? First question to the admiral, how much fuel do you have? I said, sir, this is puzzling. The doctor don't like the nurse asking a question because their ego's too big. And I said, no offense, sir, nobody in the world's got a bigger ego than the United States Navy Top Gun fighter jet pilot becomes an admiral. You got the biggest ego in the world. You don't care, this kid asked you the question. I said, sir, what's the difference? He said, there's a huge difference. Operation crashes, you die. Plane crashes, I die. He said, put a gun to that doctor's head and said, if this patient dies of an unneeded infection, I'm going to blow your brains out. They'd ask the questions twice. Well, how important is ego and pride? Every day we make it more important, our health, our safety, the people we love. Now, I went to a program at the National Academy of Human Resources, and they talked about employee engagement. Do all of you know this term, employee engagement? And it's a good presentation, right? I'm a fellow of this academy. They had three of the top HR people in the world. They talk about employee engagement. And I listened. And it was all good. They talked about training and empowering people and fair pay and all kinds of stuff. And then I realized 100% of the dialogue on employee engagement is what can the company do to engage you? And absolutely zero is what can you do to engage yourself? I'm not exaggerating. 100%, zero. There was a famous John Kennedy speech, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. This is the opposite of the John Kennedy speech. 100% of employee engagement, what's somebody going to do to help you? 0%, what are you going to do? Well, I listened to this and I'm thinking, everything they said was good. I didn't disagree with anything they did say. It's what they didn't say. I fly all the time. I'm on a typical 3-hour American Airlines flights. Everyone look up here. One flight attendant is positive, motivated, upbeat, and enthusiastic, and one is negative, bitter, angry, and cynical. Have any of you been on that flight before? Same pay, same uniform, same employee engagement program. What's the difference? Not the outside. It's on the inside. Well, that's what got me thinking about this whole process. Now I'm going to teach you as promised. Process takes 2 minutes a day. Costs nothing. It's going to help you get better in almost anything. And by the way, another suggestion is before we start anything, most of us need far more help than we want to admit. Let me give you an example. Who in the room needs to be a better listener? Better listener. Get these hands up. She couldn't wait to raise her hand. Better listener. And your name is?
Maya.
Now, Maya, how many years have you been needing to be a better listener now? How many years?
My whole life.
Your whole life. I want you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. My name is Maya.
My name is Maya.
I need to be a better listener.
I need to be a better listener.
I've needed this my whole life. I haven't fixed it yet.
Working on it. I haven't fixed it yet.
You're not going to fix it by yourself next week.
I'm not going to fix it by myself.
I need help.
I need help.
And it's okay.
It's okay.
Let's hear it for Maya. Very good. Now, I pay a woman to call me on the phone every day. Every day she calls me. Her name is Kate. Every day Kate calls me on the phone. She called me yesterday and today and she calls me every day. Every day Kate listens to me read questions that I wrote and provide answers I wrote every day I do this. Now somebody said, why do you pay some woman to call you on the phone just to listen to you read questions you wrote and provide answers you wrote? Don't you know the theory about how to change behavior? I wrote the theory about how to change behavior. That's why I pay a woman to call me on the phone. I know how hard this is. I have 11 million frequent flyer miles on one airline. That's an excuse to be a bad father, bad husband. How many excuses can I make with that 11, out of shape? How many excuses do I get for that? Excuses don't help. Why do I pay somebody to call me on the phone every day? My name is Marshall Goldsmith. I'm the world's leading executive coach. I pay a woman to call me on the phone every day to listen, just to listen to me read questions I wrote and provide answers I wrote every day. Why do I pay a woman to do this? I'm too cowardly to do this on my own. and I'm too undisciplined to do this on my own. I need help, and it's okay. Well, once we get over that macho crap of I can do everything on my own, life is so much better. We all need a little help. You're going to talk to your partner. I want you to think of one thing you haven't fixed by yourself for years, and we've all got something. You're going to say, my name is, here's what I've not fixed myself by myself for years. I need help, and it's okay. Two marks, get set, talk to your partner. Go, 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 talk. So what do you need to fix? What do you need help on?
Well, I said I'm a communicator, but my problem is sometimes people are talking and interrupting that before they're done.
You need help.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Okay, stop, stop, stop. All right, I am now going to teach you what takes 2 minutes a day, costs nothing, is going to help you get better at almost anything. Are we ready? Look into the eyes of your partner. Look into the eyes of your partner. I want you to imagine your partner is going to call you on the phone every day for the rest of your life. Every day this person is going to call you. Now, how does the daily question process work? The daily question process works like this. You get out an Excel spreadsheet. On one column, you write down a series of questions to represent what's most important in your life. Friends, family, colleagues, health, whatever it is. You write your own questions. Every question has to be answered with yes, no, or a number. Yes is a one, no is a zero, or a number. 7 boxes across, one for every day of the week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Fill it out every day. I'm going to warn all of you in advance. At the end of the week, that Excel spreadsheet will give you a little report card. That report card at the end of the week may not be quite as beautiful as that corporate values plaque you got stuck up on the wall. You do this every day, you quickly learn life is real easy to talk. Life is real difficult to live. Well, when you do this every day, this is not your talk values, it's your live values. Not quite as pretty as those talk values in most cases. I've been doing this for years. It's hard to do this, I can tell you. It's very humbling. Now, I'm going to share some of my questions. They're not intended to be yours. The idea is you write your own questions. One of my questions every day is, how many times yesterday did you try to prove you were right when it was not worth it? I almost never got a zero in my whole life. It's kind of hard for that old professor not to be right all the time. Do I have any engineers in the room? Engineers, raise your hand. How about the engineer? Do you ever try to be right a little too much here? Just occasionally. How many angry or destructive comments did you make about other people yesterday? Yeah, we all say we want to treat people with respect. If I want to treat people with respect so much, how come I'm stabbing people in the back? How many minutes did you walk? How many push-ups did you do? Sit-ups? Did you say or do something nice for your wife? Did you say or do something nice for your son, your daughter, your son-in-law, your grandchildren? Just a bunch of questions about life. How many minutes did you write? Well, this is a great exercise to help you get better at almost anything. Talk to your partner, 20 seconds. You're gonna say, here's one thing I want to put on my daily question list. You say, here's one for me, go back and forth, and the last say, stop. Go, talk to your partner, talk. Now, we started about 15 minutes late, so I'm probably not gonna have too long for questions, just a little bit, yeah. Okay, stop. Now, if any of you would like to know all my questions, send me an email, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com. Marshall has two L's. I'll send you all my questions and an article about this. The key, though, is not to copy my questions. The key is those are just examples. You write your own questions. Now, my daughter, Kelly. Some of you may have seen my daughter, Kelly, before. I'm very proud of my daughter. My daughter, Kelly, is a graduate of Duke University and was on the TV show Survivor Africa. If any of you saw the third season of Survivor, I'm Kelly's dad. After being on Survivor, she worked with Mark Burnett 2 years. She did casting for Survivor for The Amazing Race. After that, she went back, got a PhD at Yale University, and now she's a marketing professor at the Kellogg School in Northwestern and was ranked one of the top 10 under 40 business school professors in the world. So very proud, Dad, very proud. Now, thank you. Very proud father. And when she was 14, she was hideous. So, you know. How many of you do have teenage girls? There is hope, right? There is hope. By the way, my wife and my daughter, they loved each other till she was 12. And they hated each other till she was 17. But they love each other again. So just 5 years of hate in there. You're not too bad. So anyway, my daughter Kelly was working with me on this employee engagement thing. And she said, Daddy, everything in employee engagement is involving passive questions. Now, what's a passive question? Do you have clear goals? Passive question. Do you have a friend at work? Passive question. She said, you ought to start experimenting with active questions, where people then, if you ask a passive question, do you have clear goals? And she says, no, blame the environment. They're confused. Meaningful work, no, they make me do trivia. My daughter Kelly taught me the value of active questions. Now, these are my first six questions. They all begin with, did I do my best to? Did I do my best to? I love these questions. Number one, did I do my best to be happy? Rather than did someone make me happy, did I do my best to make myself happy? Number two, did I do my best to find meaning? Rather than wait for somebody to give me meaning, did I do my best to create meaning? Number three, did I do my best to be fully engaged? Rather than saying, did the company engage me, did I engage myself? Did I do my best to build positive relationships? Rather than the question, do you have a friend at work? Were you the friend? Did I do my best to set clear goals myself? And did I do my best to make progress? I love these six questions. Test yourself every day. Now, if any of you want to participate, you're all invited to participate in a research study. Send me an email, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com, and just write 6-question study. I'll sign any of you up for the study. You're going to get an email every day from me for 2 weeks. The email every day for 2 weeks, you're going to get before and after questions, and you're going to get tested every day for 2 weeks. Here's the test. You're going to be asked these 6 questions every day to rank yourself. Our research on this is amazing. So far, let me share the new research we've done. 95 studies, 2,793 participants, 46% of everyone who's participated said, I got better at everything. 75% got better at 4, 94% got better at 1, 6% no change, less than 1% said the scores got worse. Why? Every day these questions get me to focus not on what I can't change, what I can change. Make sense? Now, finally, as promised, the one issue women have more than men. Are we ready? I'm often asked, are there gender differences in leadership feedback? Differences between women and men? Yes, there are 2 statistically significant gender differences. Are we ready? Gender difference number one, 360 feedback, not a theory, fact. The average woman is seen as a better leader in 360 feedback than the average man. There's a difference between winning and gloating. Some of you are going to be veering a little toward gloating. The average woman is seen as a better leader in 360 feedback than the average man, not a theory of fact. Marion Ruderman, Center for Creative Leadership Study, huge study. Jim Kouzis and Barry Posner, my good friends, huge research study. For the women in the room, the average woman has one issue to deal with consistently and amazingly more than the average man. I'm shocked how much I see this in my coaching, and I see it in many of your eyes. What is this disease? The desire to be the perfect everything to everyone. Women are much harder on themselves than men. Not a theory, fact. Women carry around one thing more than men, guilt. One coaching I have with women far more than men is this: please quit being so hard on yourself. Please quit being so hard on yourself. You don't have to be that perfect everything to everyone. Now, I teach a lot of women's leadership programs, and you went to my class at Dartmouth. I spent 10 minutes just working with the women. This is 10 minutes, all my women's programs, people like the best. So I'm now going to do this 10 minutes with you all. Topic, be happy and let go of guilt. I guess I should make this optional. If any of you would rather be miserable and have more guilt, you should not attend this part of the program. Be happy and let go of guilt. Are we ready? For the next 10 minutes, we're going to have 4 rules. Rule number one, you cannot attempt to learn something. Put those pencils down. No note taking. Turn those machines off. You cannot attempt to learn something. I'm watching you like a hawk. It's going to get harder. Rule number two, You cannot try to become more productive. Oh, look at her. She's starting to worry already. And she's twitching. Oh, it's going to get much worse. Rule 3, you cannot try to become a better person. And the hard one, Rule 4, for the next 10 minutes, you cannot consider helping others. For 10 minutes, I want you to focus on one thing, your own happiness and self-acceptance. Just 10 minutes. I did this with a large group of women in India. 2 women just broke down. They didn't just start crying. They just lost it. Nobody ever gave them 10 minutes. Nobody ever gave them 10 minutes. Now, when I teach my class at Dartmouth, I think you were in my class, I always kick out the men. Why? Well, right now, a bunch of you already have tears in your eyes. I want you to think about a bunch of men. If I said men, now boys, no matter how difficult this may be, men, for the next 10 minutes, you must focus only on your own happiness. Yeah. How many men have tears in their eyes? They're thinking, shit, let's spend all day on that topic, right? And you know what most of the men are thinking? Hell, has there ever been another topic? What do you think I've been doing? It's not that men are better or worse or women are better or worse. For most men, this is just really not their problem. This is not their problem. Now, I want to teach you a good Buddhist be happy technique. So are you ready? Buddhist be happy technique. Buddha said every time I take a deep breath, it's a new me. So I want everybody to smile. I want you to take a deep breath, do your hand like this and go, now I want you to think, new me, new me. Now I want you all to close your eyes. Everything that happened before this second in your life was done by an infinite set of women. They're called the previous yous. Think of all the gifts those women have given the you that is sitting here right now. Think about how hard they tried, all they did to help other people. Open your eyes. If any group of women did that many nice things, what should you say to those nice women? Thank you. Do your hands like this. Say, thank you. Thank you. Now, did those women make a little mistake or two? Let's all look up here, smile. Let it go. Who is the first person we need to learn to forgive? I've asked thousands of mothers around the world this question. When my child grows up, I want my child to be. One word comes up with the answer from mothers. One word more than every other word combined, no matter what country I'm in. What's that word? Happy. You want your kids to be happy? You want your parents to be happy? You want people love you to be happy? You want the women that respect your work to be happy? You go first. You be happy. Now, I want each of you to think of one person who makes you feel bad, guilty, angry, or crazy. Can we all come up with one? Now, if she is in the room, do not point at the person right now. I mean, don't do that. We all got one person who makes you feel crazy, right? Angry, guilty. Now, I have a question. How much sleep is that person losing over you tonight? Yeah, that looks like a zero, a zero, a zero, a zero, followed by another big zero. I got another question. Who is being punished? I got another question. Who is doing the punishing? You don't have to like that person, respect that person, or agree with that person. Starting now, you're going to tell yourself, you are no longer going to make me feel bad. You know why? Life is too short. 2 monks are walking by the stream. One of the monks sees a woman, and she has on a beautiful silk dress. Monk comes over, and she's crying. Why are you crying? She says, I have on this beautiful silk dress my mother made, yet I must cross the stream to get to the wedding. If I cross the stream, I'm going to ruin my beautiful dress. I don't know what to do. One monk says, I'm sorry, we can't help you. We can't touch women. Against the rules. Other monk says, out of heck with the rules. Picks her up on the shoulder, carries her across the stream, and drops her off the other side. She's so happy. Thank you, nice monk. Thank you, thank you. The other monk is angry. You're a bad monk, a terrible monk, a disgusting, bad, bad monk. Wet monk, why am I so bad? Monk, we're not supposed to touch women, picking that woman up on her shoulders, carrying about, you bad monk, quit that, save yourself. Wet monk says, shit happens. They walk back to the home of monks, all the way back. Bad monk, bad monk. The wet monk dries off and goes to sleep. Middle of the night, his colleague is still angry. Wakes him up. You're a bad monk. Sleepy monk says, why am I so bad? Because you carried that woman. Sleepy monk says, what woman? The angry monk says, that woman you carried across the stream. Sleepy monk says, oh, her. I only carried her across the stream. You carried her all the way back to the monastery. Some of you all been carrying some people around with you. I can see those people in your eyes. They do not make you happy. Next time you think about those people, take a deep breath. Leave them at the stream. Leave them at the stream. I was teaching my class to the women's program at Goldman Sachs, and one of their top investment bankers raised her hand. She goes, excuse me, excuse me. I call her. She goes, excuse me, could I please submerge them in the stream? Now, some final advice for life. Pick a path. Pick a path. It's your path. As much as you can, have that path come from where? In your heart. Any path that you pick through life is going to have trade-offs. Any path has trade-offs. Make peace. Make peace with those trade-offs. Make peace. And one other advice, you don't have to be a role model. You don't have to be some kind of role model. If you make a mistake, you haven't let down every woman who ever went before you and every woman who's ever going to come after you. You don't have to be some kind of heroic role model here. Just show up, do your best, try to be a good person, make peace. Make peace. Nobody should have to carry that stuff around all day. Just make peace. Now, final case study. I'm now going to give you the best coaching advice you're ever going to get. Is everybody ready? Final smile, deep breath. Ah. I want you to imagine you're 95 years old and you're just getting ready to die. 95. It's all over. Here comes that last breath. Before you take that last breath, you're given a beautiful gift, the ability to go back in time and talk to the woman sitting in this room, the ability to help this person be a better leader, much more important, have a better life. What advice would that wise 95-year-old you, who knows what mattered in life and what didn't, and what was important and what wasn't important, what advice would she have for the you that's sitting here right now? I don't want you to say anything or do anything or write anything. Let's answer that question in mind. What advice would that old woman have for the me that's sitting here right now? Whatever you're thinking now, do that. In terms of a performance appraisal, that's the only one that's going to matter. She says you did the right thing. You did. She says you made a mistake. You did. You don't have to impress anybody else. Some friends of mine interviewed old folks who were dying and got to ask this question. What advice would you have? On the personal side, three themes. Theme one, three words. Be happy now. Not next week, not next month, not next year. A great Western disease, I'll be happy when. When I get the money status, BMW condominium, I get that next promotion, I'll be happy when. We all got the same when. Learning point from old people. I got so busy chasing what I didn't have, I couldn't see what I did have. I had everything. Many of you are among the luckiest people that ever lived. Many of you have friends and family and health and people you love and interesting jobs. Compared to me, you got youth. You got it all. Don't get so wrapped up chasing what you don't have, you can't see it. Learning point number two, friends and family. I'm sure you work for nice companies. You work for Cisco there. When you're 95 years old and you look around that deathbed, no Cisco employees are going to be waving goodbye. You start to realize these friends and family, they seem kind of important. They're the only people who care right now. Learning point three, if you have a dream, go for it. Because you don't go for it when you're 35, you may not when you're 45, and you won't when you're 85. Doesn't have to be a big one, a little one. Go to New Zealand and speak Spanish or play the guitar. Other people think your dream is goofy. Who cares? It's not their dream, it's yours. It's not their life, it's your life. Had a very embarrassing experience a couple years ago. I was teaching my class and I said, go to New Zealand, speak Spanish. Guy raised his hand, he goes, we're in Spain, you idiot. We all speak Spanish. Business advice isn't much different. Number one, life is short, have fun. Number two, do whatever you can do to help people. The main reason to help people has nothing to do with money or status or getting ahead. The main reason to help people is much deeper. The 95-year-old you will be proud of you because you did it and disappointed if you don't. Help each other. Get to meet some women here. Help them. You could all show off and prove you're smarter than each other, better than each other, whatever, or you can try to help each other. None of us have too many friends. Much better off just try to help each other and be friends. Final advice, go for it. Your world's changing, your industry's changing. Do what you think is right. You might not win, at least you tried. Old people, we almost never regret the risk we take and fail. We always regret the risk we fail to take. And we got off to a little bit of a late start. I'm going to wrap up. I'm going to stick around if any of you would like to talk to me, but for everybody else, I'll wrap up. The final thing is, it's been my honor to work with all of you today. Hope you found our little time together to be practical and useful, and hopefully help you have just a little bit better life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks to each of you guys for joining us today, and I hope the rest of your day is awesome. And one more round of applause for Marshall.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a great day.